Good morning. Didn't they do a great job of leading us in worship today? Amen. Let's give them a hand for that. I want to thank Dr. Hatfield for allowing me to come and share with you this morning. I don't know if you're Facebook friends with him, but I think I saw him get baptized again the other day in the Jordan River. So I think they're having a great time, and he's enjoying it, and Marcy and others from the church. And it's a great experience to do that. If you've never had the opportunity to go to Israel, I encourage you to take time out and to save up the funds to do that. As was stated, I am the new Gary Loudermilk. For most folks, that's a better way to describe me, because Gary Loudermilk is Denton Baptist Association. He served Denton area for well over 19 years, and obviously he and his wife Mary are members here, and he hadn't quit. He's still busy. In fact, today he's interim pastor at First Baptist Church in Argyle, and he's already, this is his second interim, so he certainly hasn't slowed down a lot since he has supposedly retired. Those of you that are retired, you understand what that means. I see Judge Camp up there. I know he's a lot busier helping us at Denton Baptist Association working in the area of disaster relief than probably when he was working full time. So I certainly understand that. And I appreciate your willingness to support our association. Because of what you do, because of the funds that you provide, you have helped us to plant additional churches in the Denton County area. Did you know that every day 500 people move to the DFW Metroplex? 500 people every day. Did you know that out of that 500 people, 70% of them are from some other country? Let me let that sink in for a moment. 70% of those folks that are moving into our area are from some other country. Literally, the nations are coming to us. I appreciate your emphasis you've had in December on the nations, on reaching the nations. But you and I need to understand, if we don't already understand, that the nations literally have come to us. And a part of what our responsibility is to reach them for Christ. As I thought about what I could share with you today, I thought about this idea of dreams. It is January 1st, 2017. It's always a great time to be thinking about the future, to be thinking about what we can and should do. And so what better way to kick that off than to show you a Dallas Cowboy picture? Do you remember that? Do you remember that incident, December the 18th? Ezekiel Elliott scores a touchdown, and what does he do? He immediately runs to one of the four kettles there at Cowboy Stadium and jumps inside of it. Now, what's interesting is that if you trailed any of that, any of the news articles after that, all of a sudden, Salvation Army's income went up drastically. In fact, they said that literally within just about 12 hours, they picked up about $80,000. What was even more interesting was they said that most of the contributions were $21. That's his number, isn't it? In fact, Elliot also talked about the fact that he himself was going to make a $21,000 contribution to the Salvation Army. Isn't that interesting how somebody can do that? The backstory to that is, he said that during warm-up time, he noticed those kettles there at the end zones. And he thought, you know, if I score a touchdown, I think I'm going to run and jump in one of those kettles. It was an idea. You might even say it was a small dream. And yet, once he did it, it was as if it captivated not only those that were at the stadium, but literally people across the nation. And they gave to the Salvation Army. I thought about that, and I thought about the fact that dreams are incredible when you think about them. Ideas, incredible ideas. I mean, just here in this group, there are a lot of things that could be accomplished this year. As I thought about that, I thought that sometimes what hinders our dreams from reaching what they could is our own mind that limits us. I invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I had anticipated in preparing the sermon that I was going to attack verses 14 through 21. But the more I got into the passage, the more I became focused on verse 20. I encourage you sometime today, take some time and read through verses 14 through 20. And really, they kind of build up to verse 20. For me, verse 20 is kind of the climax of that particular passage. It's a prayer that Paul is praying for the church. Look at what it says in verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Did you see what the text says? Did you see what verse 20 says? Specifically, this word, immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Dr. K.S. Wiest writes in his word study on this text that immeasurably more literally means in a measure exceeding all things beyond all things. He also states that the word imagine means exceeding some number or measure, over and above, more than necessary. It is the idea of exhaustlessness. Is that a word? If it's not, I made it up, okay? And you can just say, you know, he's kind of a weird guy. He makes up these words. But I just thought of that word as I thought about it. It is as if God's power never ceases. It's not like the way it is on our vehicles. Did any of you drive any extra miles over the holiday season? Man, I have. It's almost as if every day I'm at the gas station filling up my vehicle. Why? Because my vehicle runs out of gas. The fuel is exhausted, isn't it? Some of you even here today may be physically exhausted because of all of the Christmas and New Year's that's gone on. But understand, God is not like human beings. He's not like machines. The text says he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, beyond all things. Will Davis, in his book, Pray Big, refers to this immeasurable power by reflecting back on Jim Collins' historic book, Built to Last. Those of you in the business realm no doubt have read this book several years ago. And in that book, Collins chronicles companies that have lasted well beyond their founding leader's tenure. Collins says that there are several key attributes of such great companies, but one characteristic stood out from all the rest. And it became the theme for that company. Collins then coined the term BHAG. You remember that? BHAG. I don't think that's a real word. Obviously, it's an acrostic. What it means is big, hairy, audacious goal. Big, hairy, audacious goal. Collins says that in these companies, the CEO, those in charge, came up with their big, hairy, audacious goal. And as a result of that, they pursued it, and literally it became the company's mantra. It was the thing that drove them. It drove them. Davis, who is a pastor of a church in Austin, talks then about the fact of, do we have a big, hairy, audacious prayer? What is your big, hairy, audacious prayer? Or in my case, for the sake of this message, what is your big, hairy, audacious dream? 2017, January 1. It's a great time to begin to dream and think about the future. It's a great time to begin to evaluate what it is that God would want to use you to do this year. Unfortunately, I think for many of us, we become so busy with stuff. I'm on the tail end of parenting. I've got four kids. Jeffrey is our oldest child. I've got the youngest is a student at Oklahoma Baptist. And so my wife and I have almost experienced empty nest. Jeffrey and BJ, and did they mention my grandson, Callan? He's a cute little guy. Well, they're living with us right now, and we've enjoyed that. It's been a lot of fun because they've had a few challenges in buying a house, but they've gotten that taken care of. They're busy. We're busy. You're busy. Sometimes I think our biggest problem is we don't settle down. We don't light long enough to begin to think about what that dream is that God would have us to do. That's why I thought that at this time, at this juncture, at this time of year, you and I ought to take some time today, this week, to think about, God, what is it that you would want to do this year? What would you want to use me to do that? I purposely emailed SGH several weeks ago when I came up with the idea, and he in turn emailed some of his staff, and they shared some of their dreams for next year. And I want to read a few of these to you if I can. You'll see them on the screen. Jimmy Bryan, your missions pastor, said, "I dream that each active member would serve a minimum of once a quarter. Our local service opportunities will increase significantly with new ministries being launched with a multitude of times and ways to serve here locally." That's his dream. Susan McClellan said, "I dream of having a robust preschool ministry." Now, I like that word robust. That gets me excited. That's an exciting statement. Kermit Tanberg said, "My dream is that Grief Share would be totally led, directed by laypersons where I am a resource person." Sounds like to me, Kermit, you're working yourself out of a job. That's not a bad thing, isn't it? Another dream. Wayne Cotton says, "My ministry dream is to take men's ministry to the next stage of ministry with all that we do, with a specific purpose of bringing men into our church, to train them up and to send them out to make disciples." Missy Illy says that "our adult choir would begin and sustain a consistent block party ministry in the spring." Block parties. It's a great way to reach out. It's a great way to reach people that aren't going to necessarily come into this building, but you in turn are going out. Sounds kind of biblical to me. Brad Williamson said that his dream is to see more people become disciples of Jesus in Louisville area by starting 6 new adult Bible study classes in 2017, including at least one class for single adults. Michael Porter says, "I dream of teen moms and dads knowing Jesus and it changing their lives totally. Changing finances, changing parenting, changing poverty and abuse cycles. I dream of a country that will allow them to become citizens in a simple and guaranteed way. I dream of them being able to raise their children in a way that guides them to Jesus." And then one that I apologized already to Julie that I didn't get on the screen for you. Julie said this: increase ministry to families using the Faith at Home Center as well as the monthly family experience. And then she had this personal goal, which I also ask each person to share with me. Julie's was this: if I fail at home, I ultimately fail. Good words from a minister. What is your dream for 2017? What is your big, hairy, audacious dream? What is your big, hairy, audacious prayer? What is your big, hairy, audacious goal? Lots of hairy stuff here. God wants us to dream. He's a dreamer. You and I need to understand that we cannot imagine what God can do. We can't imagine it. As we look back at the text, we remember the words of it. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask. You cannot measure how much God can do. It is immeasurable. Several years ago, a gentleman by the name of Henry Blackaby wrote a monumental discipleship book entitled Experiencing God. One of his comments in that particular workbook was this. He said, when we were thinking about the future, if we could attain it on our own power, we realized that really wasn't something that was immeasurable. It wasn't a dream or a vision of God. You see, that's part of what we need to begin to do, is we need to begin to think immeasurably. To think in such a way, God, what could you do? What could you use me to do? You see, that's what the text is challenging us to do. What is something that only God can do? Many of you, no doubt, have read Max Lucado's books. Maybe you've heard him speak. On one of those occasions, he makes this comment. He said, I remember as a kid, I had a high jump pit out in the backyard. Any of you ever have one of those? Well, I grew up in the 70s, and so we would take tubifores and we would put nails in the back of the tubifores at 1-inch increments. We would then find a cane pole and we would put the bar there. And then in Lucado's case, he said, we had a landing pad. We had an old mattress that we were able to land on. He said, I practiced on that thing. He said, I was able to jump heights I never thought I could attain until the day my older brother and his friends showed up. He said, when they came, they not only jumped the highest level I had done, but they raised the bar an additional 6 inches. He said, they continued to jump at that height. And he said, when they left, I realized that the bar had been raised. When was the last time you raised the bar and began to think immeasurably more? More than you could imagine. You see, that's what Paul is challenging the reader to do. It is to think above and beyond what they could imagine. What is your dream for 2017? About 10 years ago, I was pastoring a church in Bonham, Texas. I'd been there for a few years, and we were experiencing some growth, so significant that we were in the process of trying to find other places for us to meet. There was a house directly across the street from us. It was a smaller home, about 1,000 square feet. It was owned by a woman named Lillian Wanslow. Now, there's some things you ought to know about Miss Lillian. Miss Lillian had never been married. Miss Lillian had served as an army nurse in war, and then she had served at our local VA. Literally, she had been either in the military or the army for well over 40 years. She was an interesting case. She loved the Lord. She loved our church. She gave regularly to it, and she loved Billy Graham and gave regularly to his ministry. And we talked with her at different times about the fact that, Miss Lillian, if there ever is an option, we would like to purchase your property. And as only she could say it, she would say, well, you can have it when I die. You'll have the first option to buy it. That was how she left it. Well, we were once again experiencing one of those growth kinds of opportunities. And by this time, she had gone to the local VA. She was staying in that nursing home. And our church commissioned myself and our business administrator to go and visit with her. We had talked to the people who cared for her, because you see, she had no children. So she had some friends who took care of her. And so we went to visit with them. And we shared with her about our desire for her property. Our church had authorized us to pay some money for that property. And at the conclusion of our conversation with her, she said, I'm not going to sell the property. And then she said, I'm going to give it to the church. I've got to be honest with you, I started crying. You see, for so many years, we had been told that we would have the opportunity to buy it, to pay for it, and that we wouldn't have access to it until she passed. But here she was, giving us her home. She knew she was never going to go back to it. And she gave it to us while she was still alive. And as a result of that, she got to see how we used it for educational space. She got to see how we used it to house our kids' clothing ministry. And she left a legacy to our church. You see, for me, that's something that only God could do. You see, that's what I want us to begin to think about. I want us to begin to think about, God, what is it that you would want to do? Look back at the text once again. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God wants to do something significant in your life this week, or excuse me, this year. But understand and look at one other verse with me, and it's verse 16. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You see, a prerequisite to experiencing God's dream in your life is that you allow God to dwell in your heart. What does that mean? It means that you would say at some point in your life, Jesus, I give myself to you. You would say at some point in your life, I commit all that I am to you. That you would let God literally into all of your life. And so a prerequisite to experiencing God's dream for you this year is that you would trust Christ. But not only that, that if you're a follower of Christ, you would give him access to all of your life, your public, your private life, and that secret life. That you would give him access to that. My challenge to you this morning is that in just a few moments, we'll have a time of invitation. And I invite you, if you've never trusted Christ, that you would let him come and dwell in all of your heart. But then secondly, if you are a follower of Christ, that you would be willing to let him into every part of your life. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our Father, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for these people. God, I thank you for their faithfulness to be here today. Lord, I do pray for those this morning that would want to come, that would want to make a commitment to let you dwell in all of their life. I pray, God, for those that are here that would need to come to say that they want to commit themselves to you, to let you in every part of who they are. And finally, I pray for those this morning that may want to come and pray about their dream with one of the staff. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. amen. Would you stand with me? Some of your ministers will be down here to receive you. This morning, if you need to come and pray with them over a particular dream that you have, or maybe there's a commitment that you want to make, you might want to join the church today. You may want to come and say, you know what? On this first day of January, I want to commit my life to Christ. So if you need to come for any of those reasons, you come now as they lead us in song.